You gotta hand it to science. It's audacious. The scale and scope of its inventions and calculations and projects are almost inconceivable. But should we? Science says, sure, if we can. With the technology at hand, we can even move mountains. And change the flow of rivers. They did it in Chicago. Just ask Chicago historian Tim Samuelson.
Well, Chicago had a hard choice to make. The Chicago River was its primary source for sewage. I mean, every kind of waste that you can imagine, both from people and industry, went right into the Chicago River. Where did the Chicago River empty? But into Lake Michigan. And what was Lake Michigan? That's where the drinking water came in. That's something you didn't want to mix. So what they really had to figure out was how to keep that river water out of the lake. And so what they did was they commanded the forces of nature and through technology, digging and good hard labor, made the river go the other way to keep it out of the city's drinking water and keep it out of Lake Michigan.
It's funny, though, listening to you say that it sounds perfectly reasonable, but we still come up against the fact that what they did was to take nature's stream, which was designed to go one way, and said, we got a problem with this, we're going to turn it around and send it back the other.
Well, that's true, and that's a pretty serious thing to undertake, but they really had a compelling reason for it, and it was an issue of human life. There were cases where the contaminants would find itself into the water supply, and large numbers of Chicagoans would die in the process. We have a case of in the 1880s, which really was one of, in 1885, a great storm pushed the sewage out of the river into Lake Michigan and actually wound up killing between 60 and 70,000 people. That's something you just don't ignore.
What was it, a million people in Chicago or something like that around the turn of the century?
Right, right.
I mean, that's a lot of human waste, of course, and right. to think about it being all right out there off Michigan Avenue is pretty astonishing.
Chicago never, the river at that time, was never known as a pleasant place to smell or to hang around. The other part of it, it was a busy river of commerce with boats and the river just filled with just forests of masts of schooners unloading goods and kind of a workaday atmosphere and factories all around. So people kind of took any kind of smell or dirt of the Chicago River as a matter of course.
Well, now, wait a minute, though. I remember reading someplace a traveler coming through saying, oh, Chicago, they ought to rename it the City of Pestiferous Odor.
Oh, yes. Well, I mean, even there, depending on your translation, the word Chicago itself is wild onion or stinkweed. So certainly the idea of odors is part of it. And of course, as some people would even say that the smell of these odors, although it may be unpleasant, it was the smell of people working and it was the smell of people making money. And Chicago was proud of its dynamicism and being able to kind of invent itself from a mud flat to a modern metropolis in just a period of decades. And if a little bit of smelly water came about it, that wasn't necessarily the first priority that they worried about. However, when it certainly came to their own mortality and safety, that was something that they had to think about again.
So what did the city do? I mean, they must have come up with a variety of proposals to deal with this before they got around to the thought of turning the Chicago River around and sending it back the other way.
Right, these were pretty desperate measures, the idea of reversing this river, and it was certainly something that there wasn't easy answers to. And they actually did study many different ways that they could do it. One of them was to actually put the sewage into underground tunnels and send them way out into the lake, way beyond the city's water intake tunnels as a way to do it. They also looked into the emerging technologies of holding basins and treatments, but actually that was in its infancy and there was no technology available that would actually be able to deal with the volume of waste that a city like Chicago would generate. So they were left with the other alternative, which was to dig this huge artificial channel, basically a new river that would connect with the Des Plaines River and the Illinois River and eventually with the Mississippi and would change the water flow so that it actually would flow in reverse away from Lake Michigan.
Now, in practical terms, what does this mean? I mean, you have to change the landscape so that gravity pulls it the other way or what?
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, it was to make a large channel that actually the water would flow to. They also had to do modifications to the Chicago River itself and deepen it in order to make the water flow towards this in a way.
You know, I have this image of the City Council of Chicago standing there and looking at the engineers and saying, "You want to do what?"
Oh, yes. I mean, in this huge amount of digging and land moving. I mean, there was a rise of land that actually went uphill that they had to basically eradicate. And they had this army of like the early ancestors of today's steam shovel. But instead of the kind of more compact things that you see in the construction site, these were like giant houses on wheels with all kinds of huge braces and pulleys, and they moved slow and tediously. And you had armies of these big wheeled behemoths just chugging away and digging and tearing apart this rise. So it wasn't even just digging a channel, but actually tearing down whole parts of the landscape to be able to do it at a huge expense, at a huge amount of labor. And what technology they didn't have to be able to do it, they almost had to invent on the spot. They tried to improvise it. In fact, they even tried to figure out a way that they could make some money as a byproduct, selling off some of the stone that actually was pulled out of it. In the true Chicago spirit, see if you can make a little buck off of something at the same time isn't a bad thing to do.
Now, didn't I read somewhere that in addition to digging down to widen the channel and to make it deeper, didn't they have to actually raise Chicago up in places too?
Well, Chicago always did have a problem with drainage in that it was very marshy soil. And actually, even earlier than the period of the Sanitary and Ship Canal, Chicago actually did raise its street levels. In fact, before Chicago, the streets were mud holes. In fact, you could actually literally walk down the street and have a horse and cart go into a mud hole and almost disappear from sight. And there was no real way to drain the city because it was such marshy lowland. So what did Chicago do? It's actually the same kind of bravado of technology they did later with reversing the river. They raised the city up. They actually laid new sewers on the old grade, raised the city. The fact that the buildings were at the old level, no problem. They came in, they jacked the buildings up. They put men with, you know, lined up with jacks. Sometimes under a huge building, they might have 50, 60 people, each on a jack. And then at a given moment, they gave a command, and they'd all give the jack a quarter turn, and the buildings would inch up.
Wow.
There were even building raisers who bragged that they could raise buildings while people were still in them, and even a big old hotel, and not even tip over a teacup.
It's just sort of an astonishing story. No wonder after that, maybe they thought, well, if we can raise a hotel with people in it, maybe we can turn a river around.
Well, it was this kind of, we can do anything. And if Chicago was determined to it, it had the resources, and it also had a lot at stake in this. By gosh, they find a way to do it. So there always was this sense of almost the challenge of taking an impossible task and kind of harnessing the toolbox of the Industrial Revolution and figuring out ways to do it.
Now, was there any concern about the people who weren't in Chicago about this going on? I mean, I can imagine people in St. Louis saying to themselves, hey, wait a minute, we got our own problems. We don't need yours thrown in as well.
Certainly for the communities downstate and down the waterways who were along the way, especially the ones closer into Chicago, the idea of these vast amounts of city waste heading their way was certainly an alarming thing. And it even extended to St. Louis. In fact, one of the interesting things is if you look in the 19th century, there was a fierce rivalry between Chicago and St. Louis as to who was going to be the greater city. And they were literally slugging it out with each other. And you can imagine the perceived idea that Chicago is the very worst that Chicago could send could possibly find its way down the Mississippi to St. Louis was the ultimate indignity. So they actually filed and prepared a lawsuit to block the completion of the Sanitary and Ship Canal and actually stop them from actually basically throwing the valves and opening the floodgates to reverse the river.
So what happened?
They got wind of this and they kind of bent the rules a little bit, even though they weren't supposed to. What do you think? They opened it up, and once it was opened, it was a done deal, and there was very little you could do about it.
But don't cry for St. Louis. Tim Samuelson says St. Louis got its revenge. What is the number one selling beer in Chicago? Budweiser. Made in St. Louis. From the waters of the Mississippi.